Gracious Father, we do indeed thank you once again for the blessing of being able to assemble in thy house, to worship with thy saints, and to look into your word and to learn therein, that we might better glorify and honor you even in our everyday life. Again, our God, we ask that you would be with us this day, that you would bless the one who stands to speak in accordance with thy holy word, that you would bless the word to find lodging in the hearts and the souls of all who hear. For indeed, our God, we can hear with our ears, we can hear the sounds, but unless you bless it to our hearts, it will do us no good. And we pray that you would bless it to our hearts, that we may honor and glorify you in every way. In Christ we pray. Amen. As we said this morning, in looking at appealing to authority with regard to forgiveness, that for the most part we find that we as Christians are to be submissive to authority and we're never to challenge authority, but yet by the fact of trying to seek for reconciliation that you might desire to, that you can appeal to the authority if it's done as outlined this morning. We closed by saying that if the authority refuses to hear, to remember what we pointed out, particularly with those verses in 1 Peter with regard to submitting to authority, and then to consider the next point, and that's the next point being this afternoon, one-way forgiveness. I didn't know any better title to put it than to call it one-way forgiveness. All of the other sermons thus far basically have centered upon the fact that we seek forgiveness with God, and when we confess our sins and repent of our sins, God is always faithful to grant forgiveness. We know that forgiveness is of grace, and God works that repentance within us and all of that. Nevertheless, we're still to repent. Likewise, we saw that when you have offended someone, as we see in Matthew 5, when you have offended someone and you know that the other person has been offended, before you worship, you're to go to that person and to be reconciled and then come and leave your gift, then come and worship, to put it that way. That's in Matthew 5. In Matthew 18, when someone has offended you, you go to them and you try to work it out. And ideally, Matthew 5 and Matthew 18 run into each other halfway between each other's house. That's the ideal situation. Both are seeking for forgiveness both ways and reconciliation. And that's what you're wanting, is reconciliation. You're wanting forgiveness. You're wanting the load to be lightened, the burden to be lifted off your back, that burden in your soul, hard feelings, tension, and everything else, all to be relieved. That's the ideal. Sad to say, we do not live in an ideal world. And sometimes there is an offense between two or more individuals, and you cannot get all the parties together to be reconciled. And that's where I came up with the idea of one-way forgiveness. For you see, the Christian is always under God, and therefore he must always have the spirit of forgiveness. He must always have the spirit of forgiveness. We've mentioned before that there are times when you cannot have all parties together. We're just basically centering on two parties, the offender and the offendee, or the offended. You cannot get the two parties together. For example, if there has been an offense between two individuals, and before you can get reconciliation, one of the parties die. Naturally, you can't get to the other individual to create reconciliation. And as we mentioned this morning, there are times when the one or the other a party will not work toward forgiveness. They will not work toward forgiveness. By the way, there's another incident that I thought about. Maybe two people are offended and one goes off and you don't even know where they are. They might leave the country, go to another state or something. And if you cannot get to that individual and you try, you don't know where they are, naturally you cannot bring about restoration. And then, as we said this morning, when one of the parties refused to grant a hearing, you're wanting to bring about reconciliation. You're wanting to bring about peace. You're wanting to bring about the fellowship that was lost. You're wanting that to be restored. There are no hard feelings. There are no tension. Like we said this morning, you're not attacking the other person that has done the wrong. You're not attacking the person that has been offended. You're both working toward reconciliation. But when you have a situation where one of the parties refused to give a hearing or will not grant an audience, you cannot force that individual to come to terms. And then the third situation that I thought about in trying to come up with the different possibilities is when one of the parties think that they haven't done anything important enough to discuss. There may be other situations, there may be other cases, but you run into those types of situations where you're trying to bring about forgiveness. You're trying to bring about reconciliation. Thankfully, God always hears a repentant sinner. Thankfully, there's no matter too trifling with God. And thankfully, God's never gone away where we can't find Him unless we have the wrong spirit in trying to seek God. So when forgiveness cannot be achieved between all the parties in the offense, the offended person should still have a forgiving spirit. That is the only thing that will deliver the individual. We find this, first of all, given in an example of our great high priest himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke 23. I want to turn back to there. We mentioned that before, bringing up another point. But we want to see that we have this example in Luke 23 with our Lord Jesus Christ when He was on the cross in verse 34. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The most arrogant, self-asserted, pugnacious, forward individual that you can come upon really doesn't know what they're doing. They think they do. But here are people that kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Theologians argue about whether how far this extends. Does it mean that everyone that the Lord prayed for would be saved later, or what is the occasion? But we cannot answer all of those questions. We can speculate as good as others, and our speculations will do no good. But we do know that Jesus taught us here on the cross in His dying hour the Spirit of forgiveness. The Spirit of forgiveness. Now, if we are Christians, if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not wanting revenge. Sometimes we as followers want revenge, but when the passions have settled and when we are come to our senses, we really realize and know that we don't have enough sense to know how to judge the situation correctly. God will do that, and He'll do a good job. So we find this by way of principle. We find, you say, well, He was God. He was sinless. We're not that. We can't do that. Well, let's come down to our level of mortals and turn to Acts chapter 8. We have another example in one of the first deacons, Stephen. In Acts chapter 8, Stephen was preaching and they got mad at him and they gnashed on him with their teeth. In other words, they could have been barely mad enough to start biting around on him for all I know. They were mad. But he was full of the Holy Ghost in verse 55. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And when he told them what he saw, they got even madder. And they cast him out of the city in verse 58. They laid down their clothes at Saul's feet to stone him. And they stoned him, and then in verses 59 and 60, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Lay not this sin to their charge. This is the spirit that we are to have. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, then you need to pray to God to give you His Holy Spirit. No man can do that in and of himself. And if a man can't do that, he needs to question whether he even is born again or not. For remember what we read in Matthew 6 at the end of the Lord's Prayer. Remember what we have already taught from Matthew 18, where it said that if you forgive not men their trespasses from the heart, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. No man can do it in and of himself. No man can do it in and of himself. He must have the Spirit of God. And if we believe in irresistible grace and God's Spirit works irresistibly in the heart and the lives of His people, not only to regenerate them, because when He does regenerate them, He gives them a different will. They have the will of the Father. They do not have the will of the world anymore. My people shall be willing in the day of their power. So they have this new will, this new desire to act as a Christian, and one of those is to have a forgiving spirit. Now, any one of us, at any given moment of time, can have a murderer's heart. But what we're talking about is a way of life. A way of life. David committed adultery. David committed murder one time. It wasn't a way of life. We're talking about a way of life. And the way of life of a Christian is to have a forgiving spirit. And then we come to the passage we read this morning. I want to come back to it in Ephesians chapter 4, where he tells us not to have any corrupt word proceeding out of our mouths. that we are to talk in such a way that will edify, that is to build up each other, not only the offender or the offendee, or the offended one, or the one that caused the offense, but to build each other up. You know as well as I do, if somebody hurts your feelings, and that's really not what we're talking about, remember, an offense in the Scripture is to sin. You have sinned against somebody. It's not because somebody wore a perfume that irritates your nose. You know, we're not talking about such silly junk as that, though it could end, so that could happen. Somebody doesn't like something, they hold the feelings on the shoulders long enough. But anyway, we're talking about sins. We're talking about sins. And if somebody has sinned against you and really caused you to sin, normally you do not talk in an edifying way to that person or about that person when they're not around. If somebody says something to you in a complimentary way of the individual, you're quick to use that three-letter word after yes, but. Yes, but. Yes, but. But we're not to allow corrupt communication to proceed out of our mouths. We're to use words that are edifying. We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When you're holding a grudge, you're grieving the Spirit of God. And your soul is grieved. You can't think about that individual without getting out of sorts with God. And we're to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, we're to put all of that away. You cannot put that away if you've got it in for someone. Well, how are you going to do that? Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Well, how can I do that? I am to forgive others even as God forgives me for Christ's sake. Now, you think about that for a moment. God is offended. God is offended. I caused the offense. I caused the offense. Why does God forgive me? Does He forgive me because I make everything right? No, you can't. It's like two children playing. And one says something to the other that he doesn't like, and he grabs him into a hammerlock and says, "You take it back. I'm not going to do it." "Yes, you take it back." And you squeeze a little harder. "All right, okay, I'll take it back. I'll take it back." But you can't take it back. It's been said. There's no way you can take it back. If I sin against God, I can't take it back. It's been done. I cannot undo what has been done. I can make a mark on this board, and I can take the eraser and I can erase it, but if you can look close enough at the right time, you can still see a mark back up under there. Now, we have the chemicals. We can come along and wipe the board down a little bit, and pretty much we can take it off. You can have on your computer, you can delete a file off. You say, well, I've gotten rid of that file. But they have programs out there that can come back, and even after you have erased the hard drive, they can go back and still find data on that hard drive after you've erased the whole hard drive. Now, it costs quite a bit of money for people to do that, but sometimes companies, that happens, they're valuable information, and they can take that hard drive apart and do things like that. But we're not talking about material objects. We're not talking about material objects. You can really wipe that hard drive clean enough where nobody can get anything. But we take words that come forth out of our mouth, you cannot unspeak a word. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ told us that we shall give an account for every idle word. He has it on record. You may be able to get rid of a mark off a board. You may be able to get rid of a mark off somebody paint on a building, but you cannot get rid of a vain word that has been spoken. You can't get rid of it. It's there, and it's there for eternity. And sin, it's not concrete like this wooden desk. It's not concrete like a cinder block. But sin is a concrete thing because it is a real thing. And God will send people to hell for sin. And when I sin against God, I have offended Him and I cannot undo it. I can't make it right. But how does God forgive me? What's the last part of the verse? For Christ's sake. The Lord Jesus Christ did what no man can do, and He paid an eternal penalty for an eternal punishment for a sin committed against God. And so God forgives me for Christ's sake. I didn't do anything to make it right. And therefore, God tells us to be kind, tender-hearted. He tells us to be long-suffering. He tells us to forgive one another for Christ's sake. You say, well, I can't do that. Are you a Christian? I want that to sink in. I want that to sink in good. No, I've already established the fact you cannot do that by your strength and power, by your sinful nature. But I'm here to tell you that when there cannot be a two-way communication, the only salvation for your soul is to drop it. And leave it alone for Christ's sake. You say, well, maybe Christ didn't die for them. Whether He did or didn't, you still do it for Christ's sake. For after all, we read this morning in Romans 12, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. To hold a grudge does not affect the other person in any way. We've got our A and B up here. We'll put up another A and B. A does something wrong. B could hold a grudge till the Lord comes back, but it's not going to change A one bit. It's not going to cause A to do anything. all it's going to do is to be a drain on your soul. That's all it'll do. So, I've even used the illustration at times, just love yourself enough to get, just turn it loose. To hold on to it, be like taking a knife and stabbing yourself to death. Or take a splinter and just stick it under your skin. And then when you've gotten used to that, take another splinter and stick it under your skin. And then when you've gotten used to that, take another splinter and stick it under your skin. And after a while, you'll have several of them that's festered. That's all you're doing to your soul. To have bitterness in your heart does not cause pain to the other party or parties. All it's doing is causing pain to yourself. It doesn't make good sense to hold on to an offense. But you don't know. I don't have to know. God knows. And this is what God has said. This is what God has said. It only causes pain, sorrow, and heartache to your own soul, and it will rob you of the sweet fellowship and joy of the Lord. That's one way, forgiveness. You haven't been able to do anything to clear it up, but you can do like the Lord Jesus Christ on His dying hour. Father, forgive them. Stephen said, Father, forgive them. Well, all right, if I've forgiven them, what does that mean? If you've forgiven, there's three steps. You've heard me say them before. I'm going to write them out. The first step is not to mention the offense again. Again to the one who offended. You don't mention it to them again. You don't bring it up. Second, not to tell anyone else. You don't bring it up to others. And third, not to tell yourself. You say, but how do I not tell myself? I can't get away from my memory. That's true. Sometimes you'll think about it, but you don't dwell on it. You don't dwell on it. If you mention it to someone, to the offender again, it's never in the sense to condemn. It might be in the sense of an illustration. Though you might be careful in doing that. And the reason I say by illustration, sometimes parents can teach their children something by mentioning a previous incident. It's not that this has, this is already settled. But you're only showing that if you follow through as we did in this, then it's going to produce that good relationship again. It's not in a way of condemnation. It's not in a way of downgrading. It's not in the way that you're holding a grudge. Someone has offended you. You don't go out and start telling everybody else about it, talking about it, destroying their character, murder by assassination. And then thirdly, when it comes to your mind, you cast it off. You say, well, how do I do that? You know, that's not easy. You don't tell a child, you don't put a plate of cookies on a table and tell a child, don't you eat one of those. Don't think about those cookies. They're going to think about cookies. If I tell you, don't think about the number three, you're going to be thinking about the number three the rest of the day. You might be thinking, there, why did he come up with three? You don't tell somebody, you don't just say, well, I'm not going to think about it again. You have to put something in its place. You have to put something in its place. One of the first things to do, I would say, to put in your place, somebody else may say something else, be just as valid, is for Christ's sake. God doesn't keep hitting me over the head with my sins. Why should I keep hitting somebody else over the head with theirs, even in my own mind? Secondly, you might start praying for that other person. No, you don't pray for God's wrath to fall on them. But you pray for them in a good light because of love and care and concern for their soul. As you pray for yourself to have the right spirit as God would have you to have for God's glory and for the glory of Christ, for Christ's sake. Or you might find some verse of Scripture to memorize or some song to sing. In other words, no, you don't just say, I'm not going to think about what they did to me. You know, I'm not going to think about the fact they lied. I'm not going to think about the fact they chewed me out. You'll relive it. You'll rehearse it. And you'll go over it step by step, point by point, and every point your blood pressure will rise 3. Next thing you'll know, you'll be ready to bite 20 penny nails in 2. You don't do that. You put something else in its place. You rid yourself of that poison that has infected your soul. Because if you cannot bring about reconciliation, the best thing you can do is what the Lord said, if it takes that, leave them alone. Leave them alone. And I tell you, when you can know someone has hurt you, and when you've gotten this out of your system, you can go on with life and enjoy Christ and have peace and fellowship with Him. And you will not allow that individual or individuals to rob you in your fellowship with the Lord. I don't say that what I've taught has been exhaustive on forgiveness, because I've used very few passages in the Old Testament. There's a lot more verses that we could have used. But I think we've given a good general introduction to how to live in a sinful world with sinful individuals, being sinners ourselves, and not be weighted down with a bunch of stuff that we can't get, that will hinder us in our fellowship with the Lord. Again, I remind you with Matthew 18, somebody offends you, you're to go to them. If that doesn't settle the matter, you take 2 or 3 more with you and go. If that doesn't settle the matter, you bring it before the church. And if you're not willing to bring it before the church, if it takes that, then you better take this step of having one-way forgiveness. There are very few congregations that have enough intestinal fortitude and strength to live like they ought to live and bring things to the church for the church to make a final judgment, not with the idea of kicking somebody out. But if an individual is not willing to be submissive to the congregation, they should be excluded and treated as a heathen and a publican, as one who has not been born again. Because they're sure not acting like it. Because the number one concept of a Christian is submission. Submission, submission, submission to authority. And there's no greater authority on this side of heaven than the local assembly when she's acting according to the Scriptures. Let's pray. Father, we do indeed thank You for Your Word. It does indeed slay us. It puts us in the place that we ought to be. But we also know, our God, that when we are living in conformity to the Word of God, we're like a train on a track that is free to run. For when the train jumps track, it can go nowhere. And when we as Christians are not under the authority of Your Holy Word, living as You would have, we're under bondage. We're in the mire. We cannot honor and glorify You as we ought. Help us, our Father. Help us to get rid of ourselves. Yea, die daily to self and follow You to the glory of Christ. Yes, we're all sinners. Any or all in this room can cause an offense at any moment or be offended at any moment. We live in a world of offenses. Our Lord has made that plain. Offenses will come. Offenses will come. Yea, woe to him by whom they come, but offenses will come. We're sinners. We get our feelings hurt over things that are no consequence. We're selfish. We want our way. We're haughty. We're high-minded. We're full of pride and vanity. And so we have all of this to deal with. But You have told us to look over one another for good, to love one another, to forgive each other, to work out our differences in a way that is honorable unto You, not like a bunch of kindergartens that spat and pitch fits and pick up our toys and walk off. No, our God, bless us to live as a Christian. And if need be, suffer all to be submissive to Your holy will, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, yea, to the authority, not only to the good and gentle, but as Thy Word teaches, also to the forward. Where we can appeal in a lawful way, give us wisdom and grace to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.